I'm going to talk today on a subject I heard this term one time, and it stuck in my brain, and I began to really think about it. And I've titled this kind of two ways, addicted to failure or failure addiction. And a lot of times, people, we don't even know we're addicted to failure. That's why some of us do good for a while, then we do bad. We do good, we do bad. We're supposed to be more steadfast and consistent. And there's two quotes that I want to give you that I think are incredible that pertain to this. And the first one is, and I don't know who said this, we just have anonymous. It says, be yourself because everyone else is taken. And you know what? For a long time, even when I wrote the book is kind of a journey of my life with God, how he helped me and helped me grow. And for a long time, I always thought I wanted to be somebody else. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, man, I wish I was them, or I wish I had that, or I wish I had this thing. I wish I had that job. I wish I had those gifts and those talents. Because I hear speakers talk and preachers, and like your pastor, you know, he has more hair than I do. He has that radio TV voice, and here I have this raspy voice. My wife says my voice never quite finished puberty. And I'm like, honey, thanks for the encouragement. And then, you know, my hair got wavy and waved goodbye, and I... You know, I said, well, God, if I could just look like that, or, you know, if I could just have that gift, or if I was that eloquent. And then I realized one day I can only be me, because really everybody else is taken. And that's what God wants us to be, just ourselves. Henry Ford said this, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Okay, let me say it one more time. So for the effect, you know, I had someone tell me when I said this a while back, they said, you know, I had to ask my husband what that meant. So here we go. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. See, if you think you can, you're right, and if you think you can't, you're right. So addiction, when we talk about addictions, you think of maybe drug addiction, alcohol, you think of maybe pornography or things like that. But a lot of times in terms of failure, we don't see that we can be addicted to failure. And God doesn't want any of us to be a failure. He didn't desire that. That's not why he created us. But we can develop habits and develop certain characteristics and attitudes that can create failure around us and in our lives. So addiction is many things, but beneath its complexities, it is a self-destructive expression of the desire to avoid or suppress pain. So that's what addiction is. You see, people who are addicted to drugs, man, they're suppressing some kind of pain. Something happened in their life, or an alcoholic, you know, something happened, something traumatic, and they begin to deal with these things. And the way they do them is to try to cover them. I don't want to feel them, so then I will cover them. See, we all will fail at some point in our life. That's the truth. Has anybody in here never made a mistake? You know, we're in church, so if you raise your hand, we'll pray for you because we know you're a liar, you know, right? We get that out of you real quick. But we all will fail at some point in our life, but failing is supposed to be a learning experience so we can do better the next time. See, a lot of us have failed, but we're not failures. We all make mistakes, but it doesn't make me a mistake. See, we are to learn from our mistakes and keep moving forward. I love this quote too, determination and failure will lead to success. You fail and you get up and you try again. That's the whole point. When you give up, that is failure. When you just give up and quit. And some of us get addicted to giving up. Some of us get addicted to quitting. We get addicted to failure, and that's what happens. Winston Churchill said this, success is not final. In other words, if you're a success, you have to keep doing what you know is right to continue to be successful. How many people have you seen in America, and you know, maybe if it's actors or you know, athletes or even preachers, that they're successful for a time, but when they quit doing what it takes to be a success, then they'll fail. So success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And that's what we need to all understand. See, when you give up, that is failure. And we can't give up. We can't quit. You have to keep moving in life no matter what you've done, no matter what's come your way. And can I tell you, some things we don't ask for, they just show up. How many of y'all ask for bad circumstances? Now, they just show up in your life unexpected in the worst time possible. You get the worst news at the worst time. It's like, I don't know. You know, when people say that, man, this is the worst time to get that news. When is a good time to get bad news? Just a thought. I think that way. But true failure is not even trying to get back up, but just quitting. So failure is not the opposite of success, and I think this is important. It's part of success. A failure is not a loss. It's a gain if you learn from it, and then you change, and then you grow. Proverbs 24:16 says, the righteous may fall 7 times, but still get up. What's God saying? No matter what happens in your life, you get back up, and you keep moving with Him, because it's never hopeless with God. There's always hope with God. You never miss out with God. No matter what you're facing, no matter what it looks like, there's always hope with God. So the righteous may fall 7 times but still get up, but the wicked will stumble into trouble. 2 Corinthians 4:9 says, we are persecuted, but God does not leave us. We are hurt sometimes, but we are not destroyed. See, we learn from our mistakes and failure. We just don't keep repeating them. That's why we learn from them. When I do this, it didn't work out real well, so I won't do that again. And you know how we can learn a lot of this? If you're married, you learn it in marriage. How many of you have ever done something in your marriage, if you're a wife or a husband, and you think, well, I'll never try that again. I'll never do that again. How many of you men are like me? You're not very smart sometimes. Come on. And I've said things to my wife, and I've said things, and they've come out of my mouth. And when they come out, I think, oh, no. I don't want to say that, but you can't reach out and take them back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then I learned, you know, very early on in life, you know, I've been married to my wife for 30 years, and I've learned that she doesn't forget. It's like, do you remember when you said that? And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want to remember when that happened. Why do you keep reminding me? But so we'll all make mistakes. We'll all do it, but we're not destroyed. We never give up, because no matter what, man, God's on our team. God's for us, not against us. Even when you think God's against you, that's a lie. He's for you. And some of us, when you think that way, that's why you fail with God. Because you think that way. Well, if God loved me, He'd do this. No, that's not true. God loves you, and He doesn't do anything to you. He does things for you. Psalms 119:71 says, it was good. King David wrote, it was good for me to be afflicted. Can you imagine someone saying, it was good for me to go through this hard time? And here's why he said it, so that I could learn your statutes. If you and I don't ever go through tough times, and it's not that God wants us to go through tough times, it's part of life, it's the way it's the world we live in, you'll never build the character. You know, sometimes God has to draw you to Himself. And can I tell you this? And here's another thought. This is not my notes, but it's another thought. God always wants you to have to need Him and believe in Him. He wants you to always want to trust Him. So for me in my life, God always wants me to exercise faith, because He says without faith it's impossible to please Him. So there's always going to be something in your life you're believing for. You know, some people struggle financially, but you always make it. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like you barely make it, but you make it. And you know what? You're always believing God, right? God, I'm believing you for this. And for me in my life, God keeps me on my knees and keeps me believing Him for the church. Because the church always needs more and always needs money and always needs something, because it's growing and we're reaching more people. And that's how he keeps me reminding, He reminds me that I need Him. Because folks, let's face it, most of us in this room aren't believing God for our meal today. You're not believing God for clothes. Y'all are clothed well. Thank God. Most of us, yeah, someone laughed, someone got it. One person, this whole place got it. Thank you so much. And you know what? And we're not believing Him for shelter. Most of us have shelter. That's the thing He said He'd give us. He'd meet our needs. So what do you believe in God for? What do you have to believe God for? Maybe it's for a child. Maybe it's for a family member. Maybe it's for your marriage. But so David said this, and in the Message Bible, it reads this way. My troubles turned out all for the best. They forced me to learn your textbook. What's going to force us to learn this word? People say, I just want a life of ease, and I don't want any problems. Well, you know what? You're probably a candidate for the Ha Hotel if you think that way. It's not reality. That's not life. Every one of us will face problems. Every one of us will face issues. And if you'll see them the way God sees them, they will grow you and strengthen you, not weaken you and cause you to quit. See, we are to learn from our mistakes and failures, and we're never to allow them to become something we are. In other words, addicted to become the norm of our lives. I may have failed, but I'm not a failure. I may have made a mistake, but I'm not a mistake. See, part of the reason we get so used to failure is because we want to feel good about ourselves. And so what happens is, I do something, it doesn't work out, so I'll never do it again. I won't try again. I won't do this again. I don't know how many people I've met over the years, you know, they say, well, I got married and it didn't work out, and they're so hurt, they're so crushed, they say, I'm never going to marry again. And I always look at them like, man, you're 28, you know. Something's going to kick in one of these days, and you're going to look again, you know. And then a year later, they're dating, and they're saying, she's the greatest thing in the world. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, really? Man, a year ago, you were like, never again. I'm swearing off women, or women, I'm never going to, you know, all men are dogs. And then you try to marry another one, you know. Maybe you go from a Doberman Pinscher to a German Shepherd. I don't know. But it's fine. You know what? It's not that we won't try again, but the reason that we don't want to try again is because it makes us feel bad if it doesn't work out. And if you're not careful, you become a pessimist. A pessimist are those who expect bad things to happen. I've said this in every service, so I'll say it again. When it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm a fan, I am a pessimist. It's like, really, it's supposed to be the greatest year ever, and look, we're awful. And you know what? Our whole division's awful. We're still in it. I was telling Pastor Carl, I was saying, okay, I'm going to be an optimist for a second. I said, just think, if we win out, we could actually win the division. And he goes, are you kidding me? Don't, you're not going to say that. I'm like, well, I said it. But being addicted to failing or failure is not just expecting bad things to happen, but you begin to work towards helping them happen. It's called self-sabotage. People do it all the time. People say this, you know, people will say, you'll meet them and say, no one likes me, no one likes me, no one likes me. And because you think no one likes you, you won't do anything to be likable. And if you're mean and cantankerous, people don't like that. So be nicer. Well, I just got to say everything I think. No, you don't. Well, that's the way I'm wired. You know, I got to just say it like it is. No, you don't. Not everybody wants to know what you're thinking. And some thoughts need to stay. That's why they're called thoughts. My wife might ask me, what are you thinking? Well, I'm thinking them because they're called thoughts. If I wanted to express them, those would be called words. Yeah. Just a thought. But we begin to work towards them. We almost expect them to happen, and so then we begin to act a certain way. You know, one of the reasons people get addicted to failure is because it's easy. It requires no work, no effort. You can be lazy about it, no desire, no hope for anything to get better or change. You get used to it. Well, it's not going to work out. Everything, you know, nothing ever works out. I knew when I did this, it started good, but I knew it wouldn't work out. But folks, we've got to learn to work through all those things. We've got to learn to not allow that to be part of our lives. And then around failure is always this person, well, at least you tried. When did that become so popular in America? Well, at least you tried. What do you mean? What does that mean? You got to get up and you got to do it. You tried. Now get up and keep going. If you get bucked off a horse, you got to get back on, and you may not get back on ever. When you fail, you got to get back up. You got to get back in the game. You got to get back in life and keep moving forward. You got to keep living, because if you keep doing it with God, eventually it will work out. And you say, how do you know it's going to work out? One of my all-time favorite scriptures, my life scripture, the one I meditate on the most, all things work out together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. I believe that sooner or later it will work out for my good, even though there's obstacles and problems and hurt and pain along this journey. You know, I always thought this, God never promised me a life without problems. My youngest daughter did something years ago. She's older now, but it broke my heart. It broke my wife's heart. It literally broke my heart. My wife has said to me, you've never been the same after that moment. It tore me up. It made me feel like I was a failure as a father. And I thought, man, God, what did I do wrong? And one day I had to wake up. I woke up and I said, you know what? This is not about me. This is about her. I didn't sin. She did. She blew it. But man, it was heartbreaking because I didn't expect it. It was something that just came out of left field. And I'm like, what? And then I didn't handle myself real well in that because I was hurt. And when I get hurt, I don't cry. I get mad. And I didn't deal with it right. And then she decided, because in my house, if you lived in my house, you went to church. You went to church. I don't care if you liked it, you went. I don't care if you're 18, 19, 20. If you live in my house, you go to church. And so she decided at 18, because she could, Dad, I know your rule, I'm leaving, I'm moving out. Broke my heart again. But she knew if she's going to stay in the house, she's going to go to church. And you let her move out? Absolutely. Why? Because my God and the Word of God never changes. Not for my family or anybody else. And see, you know what failure does? It'll change with family. It'll change with those we love. Well, so-and-so's a certain way that we love them. They're our family, so now we agree with whatever behavior that is. Folks, that's ungodly. You're asking for problems. And when you accept certain things, then no one has to change. That's what's wrong with America today. We accept so many things that no one has to change. It's just the way I am. It takes all the responsibility off me to change, doesn't it? This is the way God made me. Who am I to fight it? God didn't make us to sin. He didn't make us to live outside of His realm and boundaries of His Word. He created us so we could live within, inside the Word of God. There's safety inside this Word. And so, you know, we all face things. But I didn't give up. I mean, I was hurt, but man, you got to move forward. You got to keep believing God. You got to keep trusting God. See, failure is boring, someone wrote. Failure usually means you didn't try something, you didn't follow through, you didn't finish. Most people don't really fail. They just succeed at being lazy and call it failure. But then they'll say, but at least I tried. That's funny. God never said try the word. He said do it. And do it has a meaning of you never quit doing it. Failure will come when we don't do what is right or necessary. And see, God and people, God pushes us, and not pushes us in an ugly way, but God and even people around us should push us to want to do more and to want more and to expect more out of ourselves in life. Today it seems like, well, you shouldn't push your kids to do this, and you shouldn't push your kids to do that. Some of you parents have kids at home. You know, now I have grandkids. I have 5 grandkids, so all my children are older and married. But I got 5 grandkids. And when they were younger, they had to go to church. There wasn't an option. I don't know why we as Christians give our kids an option about church. Well, I don't want to raise them in church. I don't want them to dislike God. They will never dislike God because you make them to go to church. You know why kids dislike God? It's because they see a different person in church than they do at home. That's why. That's the reality. It's like, if God's real, why do you act like this at home? I mean, sometimes we take our kids to the parents and they're like, those aren't my parents. What do you mean they aren't your parents? They're too nice. They're imposters. My parents are at home. They don't act like that. Wait till we get in the car. They won't be like, hey, how you doing? It'll be something different. And if you're a parent and if your kids live at home, they should have to come to church. Well, what if they cry? Who cares if they cry? Put them in the seat and let them cry. You teenagers know what I'm talking about. You're not going to cry in front of people you don't know. They're too self-conscious. They're too worried about what everybody thinks. Is that your 15-year? How old are you? You crying like that? You know, get a pacifier, you know. But we're to train them. That means we make them come. We make them, and then we live our lives the same way in church as we do at home. And then when we blow it, we tell them we blew it. So God pushes us to want more. See, expecting more and out of others and ourselves is not punishment. That's not evil. It's when people or even we start believing in ourselves, start believing in God and His Word, that it begins to transform us. And as Christians, we need to be careful that we in this failure addiction, that we don't come to a place where we really think we've failed God. Guys, you know, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I thought, okay, I'm saved, you know. And I didn't even know what that meant. But I'm supposed to be like more like God. And then I left the church and I went out and someone said something and I cussed. Or I lost my temper or I had a bad thought. Because, you know, they taught me when I first got saved, you can't think certain thoughts. Well, I'd been thinking those thoughts all my life. I mean, anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, how do I? So, you know, a girl walked by and I had a thought. And I'm like, oh, no, that's sin now. I didn't even know what sin was all the way. It's like, no, I'm bad, I'm awful. God, I thought I was saved. And a lot of us, we make mistakes and we think we're not saved. And can I say this to you? Do you not think God factored in all your mistakes? All your shortcomings? Do you think God is so dumb and ignorant that when He said, okay, I'm giving you Jesus, oh, but I didn't know you were going to do that, and I didn't know you were going to say that, and I didn't know you were going to act that way. You think God is surprised? He factored in everything we would ever do, and he still says, I want you in my kingdom. That's how great God is. So as you as a Christian, you make a mistake, you repent, you truly purpose not to do it again, and you get up and you keep moving with God. Yeah, but I'm a failure as a Christian. Why? Because you blew it. We all have blown it. Some may be more noticeable than others, but we've all blown it. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not a failure with God. You're just you're a human. You're a work in progress. And God wants you and I to be the best versions of us we could possibly be. That's why you don't want anybody else's life. You want the life God has given you. Because if you'll ever live that life, it'll be a great life. It'll be a better life. It'll be the best life because it'll be you, not somebody else. You don't have to be fake. You can be real. Isn't that what's big today? Young people, be authentic. Well, let's be authentic then. Let's just be real. Every one of us is going to make a mistake. Every one of you are going to go out and do something. You may do great with God and you may make a mistake, but you're going to be okay if you continue in God. Failure is those who quit. Those of us who are Christians and have made mistakes, we just keep moving forward. God, forgive me. I'll purpose. I'll work on that. Because that's who God is. I had a guy get saved one time when I was pastoring in Roswell, and he got saved. And he come up, and this is a true story, and I asked him, I said, how do you feel? I was young in the ministry. I never asked that question. I've never asked it again after this. And I said, well, how you feel, man? And he goes, well, I feel blankety blank great in front of the whole church. I mean, he was colorful. You talk about some, I'm like, well, you know. I'm praying for the guy. Like, let's pray. And I'm looking at church like, man, he's a sinner. You know, what kind of guy is that? And I don't know what to do. He's like cussing. He's like, but that's how he knew to express himself. And who am I to say, oh, I guess you didn't get saved because you said a bad word. I mean, he had to learn not to say those things. Dude, that's probably not very appropriate in the church, you know. Really, it's not appropriate anyway, but in the church, come on. But you know, but that's how he felt. So you know what? We're a work in progress. God invested in you, and his investment, he wants great returns from it. So keep moving forward. You're not a failure. We may make mistakes, but man, I'll never let that mistake define me for the rest of my life. Romans 5:3-5 and says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And persistence is important because you learn not to give up when things get difficult. Some of us are addicted to failure because as soon as something gets hard, I quit. It's hard, I quit. It's too hard, I quit. Too hard. Marriage is too hard, so I quit. You know, marriage is an investment. You take two personalities who love each other at one point, and then they hate each other at another point. Yeah. Right? I mean, they attract, and then they have conflict. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, you marry this girl, you marry this guy, and they're like the greatest person in the world, and then you like live with them for a while. It's like, I didn't know that about you. I never saw that coming. It's like, wow, now you're like that. You know, I didn't know when she woke up she looked like that. Like, really, girl, where's your makeup, man? Come on, put it on. I'm playing. I'm kind of playing. But we learn not to give up when things are difficult because people who are addicted to failure, they give up when the slightest bit of friction comes their way. So we need to understand. Let me give you some points real quick as I begin to close. Failure is not always a bad thing as long as you learn from it and are correcting your mistakes to see success. Now, let me give you a list real quick. You could be on the road to being addicted to failure, if you would, or failure addiction, or you might be walking in some of these things. And these 10 points are things that people do really are walking in failure. They'll continue to walk in failure. So hopefully you'll hear them, and maybe one or two of them apply to you, and we can correct them. I got this from a guy named Tyler Basu. I got the points, but my sub points are totally different. But I want you to hear this. If you are walking in failure, or if you're going to, if you're in that failure addiction process, You are addicted to the approval of others. You know, successful people are very particular about whose advice they ask for. People who are addicted to failure just ask everybody's advice and listen to it. If you're in a church setting especially, man, if someone gets cross with the church, don't listen to their stuff because you never hear the other side. I've had people tell me, I heard so-and-so left, or you let so-and-so go, and I can't believe it, I love so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, you can love them, there's nothing wrong with that, but let me tell you what so-and-so did. And then they look at you like, well, I'd have fired them too. But we hear one side. Don't let people put garbage in you. Man, there's enough garbage in the world. Just turn on the TV, listen to the news, listen, read billboards. There's enough junk. Don't let people put that in you. Well, you know what the coach did? You know what the preacher did? You know what my boss did? No. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear. Because some things you can't unhear. I don't want to hear them. And successful people are very particular about whose advice they ask for. People who are addicted to failure, they just want approval of everybody, so they ask everybody. See, people who are addicted to failure, they value the opinions of others more than God's word. People who are successful, they do what's right and not what others convince them to do. In other words, social pressure doesn't get me. I'm going to do what's right no matter what. Number two, if you're addicted to failure, you're on that road, you entertain yourself instead of educating yourself. Everything's a game. Everything's about being entertained. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment as long as that's not all you do. See, you don't continue to grow and improve yourself, your knowledge. You can be found, you know, in nightclubs. No Christian should be found in a nightclub. Well, I'm just there dancing. No, I don't care what you're doing. No. You spend more time on entertainment than on investing in yourself. It's all about having fun. And there's nothing wrong with being entertained as long as you understand entertainment lasts for a moment and education will last a lifetime. Invest in yourself. Number three, you always blame others for your circumstances. You blame your boss, your coworker, your parent, your spouse, your education, your childhood, everything. And you refuse to take 100% responsibility for the results. Listen, some of you I know were harmed as children. Some of you are neglected, abused, abandoned. Some of you people don't even realize what abandonment does to you. Some of you were physically abused, sexually abused. Some of you just were treated badly. I get it. But man, that happened when you were 10. Now I'm 30. I don't get to continue to blame that. Because now I think for myself. I can learn. I can learn from God's word. And God's word is a healing salve to all that ails me. And yes, may happen, but I'm not going to go that way. You know, even in my book, you know, I was born with a cross-eyed, and one of the captions, and there's, you know, cross-eyed. And you know, when I was born with a cross-eyed, I got made fun of. I didn't realize I dealt with rejection. I didn't even know it. People would come up and say, you cross-eyed, you four eyes. I'd hit them. I would punch them in the mouth. I fought all the time. And sometimes it was hard because I had double vision. And it's like, you know, I see two, so I always saw two, and it's like, man, I hope I hit the right one, right? I mean, and then because I was cross-eyed, I'd look at you, and you'd be like, who you? It was really kind of, I mean, I laugh about it now, but it was rugged. It was a kid, you know, and I wore big, thick black glasses. They didn't have all these designer glasses. They were black frame and thick, like Coke bottles, and I'd have to wear a patch over my eyes sometimes, and kids are tough, man, and I just would fight. Well, that developed rejection in me. So what happened with that is that when I would deal with that rejection, what happened was when you had something good happen to you, I was genuinely happy, but then I would feel like, man, what about me? I always felt slighted, like, God, what about me? I'm happy for them, but man, God, it never seems to happen for me. That's rejection. And God wants to heal you from that because, folks, it's no fun because you'll always feel slighted. You can't blame anybody. When you're older, it's all on you. Number four, you're afraid of making mistakes, so you don't try. You always play it safe, never committing to anything. People who are addicted to failure, they'll never truly commit to anything, and that's why even in the church world we see it. People won't really commit because they're afraid. They don't want to try. Number five, you stay in unhealthy relationships, whether it's friendships or dating relationships. I know people that will date, and they'll be dating somebody, and they'll be getting serious, and they'll say, well, he went out on me, or she went out on me, and I'm like, dump him. Dump her. Yeah, but I love them. No, no, see, successful people think with their brains. And people who are, man, some of y'all, and people who are addicted to failure, they always want to think with their, I love them, my passion. And folks, sometimes it's not healthy. I know people that, you know, they're dating and the guy has hit the girl, and I'm like, dump him. Oh, but I love him. No, you don't understand. I don't care if you love him or not. Take your hurt, because it's not going to get any better. Don't do it. Don't put yourself in those situations. Number six, you're addicted to drama. Gossip. And you know what's bad about people who gossip all the time? They can't stand to be gossiped about. Like, you know, so-and-so's talking to me. Are you kidding me? You talk about everybody. Oh, no, I don't. And you want drama all in your life. People who are addicted to failure, they want drama all the time. Can I tell you something? I can tell you this. I don't like drama. I don't want any drama. When I go home, my wife will tell you, I want peace and I want quiet. I don't want any issues. And some people can't live without drama. That some of you in your relationships, marriage, you don't know how to function unless you're fighting all the time. I've had marriages that we've worked on that the guy started really treating her good, and she would start fights on purpose and say, I don't know how to deal with him when he's nice. Because they get addicted to it. Don't listen to people. Don't listen to certain things. Don't be caught up in that. You spend time with people who are going nowhere. There's a difference in reaching someone for Christ and someone that you spend time with constantly that affects your life that are not going anywhere. Successful people will spend time with people that are either more successful than them or as successful. And here's what successful people do. They always have this kind of relationship where someone is like mentoring them. They have peer relationships, and they always have someone they're helping out themselves. I think you have to have all three of those relationships. Number 8, you are careless with money. When things get tight, what do? I can't tithe. I can't give to God. Folks, that's not. Successful people continue to do the right thing even when it's hard. You overspend because you think you have to have or you deserve something. I know people that don't have money, but I deserve it. I worked hard this week. I did good, so I deserve this thing. No, you don't. You don't deserve it if you can't afford it. See, we want to award ourselves, and it's not healthy. And so successful people who are addicted to failure, they don't set goals. You got to set goals. Number 10, you think, people who are addicted to failure think this. They think successful people got lucky instead of working hard. Everybody who I know successful has failed a bunch, and everybody who I know successful works their behinds off. Now, you may win the lottery. Good luck. But that's what people are waiting for. Well, one day I'm going to win the lottery. I have people tell me in the church, Pastor, I'm going to win the lottery, and when I do, I'm going to give the church a tithe off, you know, $300 million, which is $30 million. I'm like, buddy, you're lying dog. You can't give the church a dollar out of 10, and you're going to give us $30 million? You're kidding yourself. See, here's what unsuccessful people do. They say, when I have, I'll do more. You know what successful people says? I'll do with what I have. That's the reality of the kingdom. That's the reality of God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be addicted to failure. Let me close with this. So what do we do? Number 1, be willing to work hard. Be willing to work hard. Be willing to work through things. Number 2, don't give up when things get hard or there are setbacks. Keep moving forward and then change the way you think. And let me leave you with the words of Paul, Philippians 4:8-9 from the New Living Translation. Here's the words. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Folks, thank you for having me. I love your pastor. It's an honor to be here. May God bless you.